Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, May the 24th, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey. My usual co-host, Richard Hurley, is not able to be with us tonight. He's got a ton of work that he's involved in, and I wish him the best. I know he's preparing for a number of appeals on cases he's helping veterans with. But we'd like to thank all of you for joining us this evening. A lot of information, hopefully of interest to veterans and their families. So let's go ahead and get things rolling. I want to first remind everyone that of course, this is a call-in show. We welcome your views, your comments, your questions. So you can call us anytime during the show. We'll be here for the next 55 minutes. Our nationwide toll-free number, if you grab your pen and paper, it's 1-888-627-6008. Once again, nationwide toll-free call-in number. Offer your views, your comments, and questions. It's 1-888-627-6008. I want to start with a very interesting item. Richard Hurley and I often discuss on this show issues facing veterans about their disability compensation cases. And on occasion, we've talked about what many veterans are familiar with, the so-called Board of Veterans Appeals. It's at the top of the pyramid in the Department of Veteran Affairs, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And it's, as the name suggests, it's an avenue for appealing unfavorable disability cases. We've talked about the Board of Veteran Appeals, the BVA, many times on the show. We've actually had on a couple prior shows a pre-recorded audio interview of the current chairwoman of the board, Cheryl Mason, discussing that. And that video, that was from the Board of Veteran Appeals itself. But the other day I saw a really outstanding article provided by the American Legion. Its author is Mackenzie Wolf. It was posted last Thursday, May the 20th, 2021. The article can be found in its entirety on the American Legion website, which is legion.org and then /news. It's really a great article because I know a lot of veterans, they get a little apprehensive. They're appealing their case to the Board of Veterans Appeals, and it just seems like a nameless, faceless bureaucracy. When we've talked about on the show how in the last year or two, the board has extensively used these video hearings for veterans on appeals, which was something that the board was transitioning to in the year before this COVID outbreak. But the timing could not have been better because with many regional offices closed for most of the last year, they weren't having the prior video hearings, or they weren't having the actual travel judges going to regional offices to conduct these hearings for these veterans. What Richard Hurley and I have noticed really in the last year or so about the board is that it seems like the board has improved noticeably both in the timeliness and the quality and the thoroughness of its decisions. They've hired a lot more judges and other support staff to tackle what for years had been a humongous backlog of appeal cases and the hundreds of thousands of cases where it would take, you know, 3, 4, 5 years for veterans to wait from one stage of an appeal to get to the board. And that was pretty absurd. Chairman Cheryl Mason took over at the top of the BVA in December of 2017. And I think her leadership has been remarkable, and it's evident by the noticeable improvements we've seen. I wanted to highlight a few key things from this article. Again, its author is Mackenzie Wolf. It's on the American Legion website. It offers a lot of insight about Chairman Cheryl Mason of the BVA. her own personal background and story, as well as basically her philosophy and approach. And the reason I wanted to highlight it was, you know, to put kind of a human face to behind this bureaucracy, so people understand, you know, that there are people working for the VA that do care about veterans that are trying to make things better. According to this article, Ms. Mason's drive to make life better for nation's veterans has taken to the top of the organization, whose mission is conducting hearings and deciding appeals on benefits and services for veterans and their families. Cheryl Mason leads a team of approximately 1,200 personnel, including veterans, law judges, attorneys, and operations and administrative professionals, as well as overseas resources, and executes a budget in excess of $190 million. Now, that's not for the entire VA, obviously. That's just for the Board of Veterans Appeals. She's also the first woman to be named chairwoman of the board. She's the daughter of a World War II veteran, and she recalls spending a lot of her childhood at American Legion halls. Very tragically, Cheryl Mason lost both her father and brother to suicide. As she said in the article, and I quote, "I've lived through the impacts of suicide, and I think it's so important that we tell people that we're there and we're listening. We provide support as soon as possible and as quickly as possible." According to the article, Cheryl Mason is a leading advocate in changing the culture surrounding mental health and bringing awareness to suicide prevention. She acts as an ambassador for an organization whose acronym is PREVENTS. It stands for the President's Roadmap to Empower Veterans and End the National Tragedy of Suicide, which is a cabinet-level task force that is a result of the executive order signed by President Trump in March of 2020. Now, the program focuses on a holistic public health approach to suicide prevention and changes the culture surrounding mental health and suicide prevention through, quote, enhanced community integration, prioritized research activities, and implementation strategies that emphasize overall health and well-being. Cheryl Mason is a big advocate of this program, having experienced in her family. She has worked for the VA for 25 years, and her experience ultimately culminating as becoming the top person of the board, she said, was a natural fit because of her undergraduate degree, political science and psychology, and her law degree in addition to that. As she said, quote, "We are here to serve veterans and help veterans. That's where the department is focused, and that's what you see us doing. We're really committed to that." And I would just add as a side note, from my observations, that's very true. We've really seen, I think, a significant and noticeable improvement in the board becoming far more customer-oriented, if you will, veteran-oriented in communication and timeliness. And again, the very astute use of technology to speed up the provision of these hearings. As Cheryl Mason said, according to the article, quote, "We're being innovative. We're thinking outside the box. We're working closely with our partners and our veteran service organizations, and that's part of what we need to do. It can't be just one organization. We have to do this together in a community," unquote. And she's certainly right about that, because there are many veteran service organizations. American Legion is one of those. VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, Disabled American Veterans, Military Veterans Advocacy. There's quite a few. There's literally dozens of these veteran service organizations, private organizations. But then also you have often county, state departments funded by those governments, which provide representation to veterans. So that's what she was talking about. It's really a team approach, community approach to that. It's more of her background. Her journey to become the head of the board wasn't simple. She and her husband at one point had moved to Germany. She had to resign her position at VA because there was no pathway to take a position with her or to find another. She applied for 200 positions when she was in Germany and got turned down for every single one, she said. Obviously, she noted it was frustrating because you're trying to support your family, support your military member, and make sure you're working on your career. She found herself in the same position that many military spouses find themselves in. The change in duty stations makes it difficult to build a stable career as well as advance within her field. Initially following her completion from law school, she struggled to find full-time employment as a lawyer in Nebraska. As she said, and I quote, trying to find a job in Omaha was pretty impossible because everybody, even though it was a big city, everybody in the small world of lawyers knew that I was a military spouse leaving. At that time, the military spouse world didn't have the support that we have now, unquote. According to the article, DOD statistics show that military spouses face a 22% unemployment rate and a 26% wage gap compared to their civilian counterparts. During her time at Board of Veteran Appeals, Cheryl Mason has made it one of her objectives to create an environment conducive to hiring military spouses by introducing remote work capabilities, implementing the Military Spouse Hiring Authority, and promoting that BVA is looking to hire military spouses, which I think, as a side note, is a wonderful thing. According to Cheryl Mason, veterans and spouses bring an understanding to that world that others just don't because you've lived it. As she said, quote, the department now uses the Military Spouse Hiring Authority very, very openly. This is something I'm just thrilled to see, and if I have a little something to do with it, that's my job, is to make an impact and get things rolling, unquote. Since her appointment to chairwoman of the board in December 2017, she's tackled the overwhelming backlog of appeals, what are called legacy appeals. Those are the older appeals before the passage of the Appeals Modernization Act, which occurred in 2017, fully implemented in early 2019. They're reducing a backlog of about 472,000 cases. And I, as a side note, can testify to the fact that they've been very successful in knocking down that backlog and also keeping the appeals under the new system, the Appeal Modernization Act procedures, moving at a pretty good pace. Statistically, over the past 3 years, the BVA has increased decision output by 95% and breaking 100,000 cases last year alone. Currently, the board has approximately 119,000 legacy appeals, so they've really whittled down that backlog. And one of its objectives over the next year is to make decisions on those in another 93,000 cases. Well, that's in addition to, you know, their other new cases. So that's really important, and it's good to hear that. Cheryl Mason also noted that one of the biggest challenges to the way the BVA has operated has been the shift to the more virtual or video hearings, which she said was one of her visions since she took over as head of the organization. They began testing the technology in the fall of 2019. They were planning to roll virtual hearing out more fully in the spring of 2020, and that's when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. So she knew that they obviously couldn't stop holding hearings, even though the regional offices were physically closed. They did not have to stop the virtual hearings. And by virtual hearings, it meant that the veterans and the representatives could conduct the hearings from their homes or their offices, wherever they have a computer with a camera, or even some other type of electronic device. I had a client who was on the hearing from his telephone, from his mobile phone, because it had a camera on it. So the board has really embraced this technology, and the timing could not be better. Cheryl Mason understands, according to this article, that some veterans may be a little reluctant about this new technology. As she said, and I quote, we know that every time we schedule a virtual hearing, this is the veteran's first time, and we understand that. My team understands that, and we're standing by to work with them and help them through the process, unquote. She also said, for me, serving veterans is just a natural part of who I am. I believe in serving the veterans like I treat my family members, and I want my family members treated that way. That's why I do what I do, unquote. And I think that's a super article. I'd like to thank the American Legion for posting it, and also for its author, Mackenzie Wolf. If you want to find the entire article, the full article, again, it's on the American Legion's website, which is legion.org/news. It was posted last Thursday, May the 20th, 21. And I really think that that highlighting what Chairwoman Cheryl Mason has done will really show, it really shows that what we are seeing on the ground, so to speak, as far as what the Board of Veteran Appeals is doing. All right, let's move on. We've got a lot of other news of interest to veterans, but again, I'd like to remind our listeners, we do have a nationwide toll-free call-in number. Grab your pen and paper. It's 1-888-627-6008. Again, you're listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1, our nationwide toll-free call-in number, 1-888-627-6008. I'm located in the great state of Florida, and for that reason and for other reasons, I'd like to highlight some news that's particularly relevant to Florida veterans, but may also help other veterans in other states, particularly if they're thinking of moving to Florida. State of Florida is now the third most populous state in the country after California and Texas. Got more than 21 million residents, and either the second or the third largest number of veterans. That's, I see conflicting statistics, but at least 1.5 million veterans in the state of Florida. And I want to highlight tonight an excellent veterans organization, and that's called Veterans Florida. It's a nonprofit created by the state of Florida to help military veterans make the transition from military service to civilian life and to promote Florida's status as what Florida believes is the nation's most veteran-friendly state. I think the state of Texas might quibble with that, but it's a friendly competition. Veterans Florida provides various tools for veterans to take advantage of the benefits of living and working in the Sunshine State. Through their career services program, they connect veterans with employers who are eager to hire veterans for jobs that put their particular military skills to use. They also assist veterans in creating a winning resume and preparing for job interviews. Employers receive veteran recruiting assistance and may apply for a program called the Workforce Training Grant. Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program provides knowledge needed to successfully launch and operate a business. And as soon as their business is up and running, Veterans Florida keeps them connected with mentors and resources. The Veterans Florida mission can be summed up in its theme, which is Your Pursuit, Our Power, because they recognize military veterans are incredibly focused and will succeed in achieving their personal and professional goals when they take advantage of Veterans Florida tools and resources. Their website is easy to remember. It's this, veteransflorida.org. Now, I would not, don't confuse that with, and that's a nonprofit organization created by the state of Florida, but don't confuse that with the state of Florida's Department of Veterans Affairs, the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, whose website is floridavets.org, which has a tremendous number of resources on its website as well. But I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about the Veterans Florida program. They've got a number of things going on, and if you're in Florida or you're thinking of moving to Florida, or even if you're not thinking of moving to Florida, this still may help you. And that's this. Veterans Florida is hosting a virtual job expo, and that's going to be June the 24th, 2021, at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. The website is veteransfloridaexpo.org, and it was going to feature many of Florida's top employers who are looking to hire veterans, service members that may be leaving active duty soon, as well as military spouses. And they have a growing number of employers who've already signed up for this online virtual job expo. So you don't want to miss an opportunity to meet their recruiters, to ask questions and start networking, and also tap into other resources. Some of the employers that have already signed up include Lockheed Martin, Aerospace and Defense, Geico Insurance, Vetcor, Ronaldo Enterprises, and many, many more. That's in the transportation industry. and many others. So again, go to the website veteransfloridaexpo.org and mark your calendar June the 24th, 2021 at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. That's really related to the larger program that Veterans Florida sponsors. That's its entrepreneurship program. And its website is veteransflorida.org/entrepreneurship. Now, that's a long word. That's a $25 word. I'm not going to spend time spelling it for you. But just the easy thing is go to veteransflorida.org, and one of the links will be for its entrepreneurship program. And their approach is this. If no matter what stage your business is in, whether you're just getting started or you've been in business for a while, whether you're struggling or successful, whatever, Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program offers resources and learning paths to help you be successful. That's the key. They offer in-person workshops. They offer a co-working space, and I realize the COVID stuff will soon be behind us. They also help in connecting you with mentors and to apply for assistance to work with other people to become more successful. Basically, it equips you with the tools you need to successfully launch and operate a business, especially in the state of Florida. So whether you're exploring an idea or you've got an existing business and you're thinking of expanding, you're trying to figure out how to be more successful, this program, veteransflorida.org, their entrepreneurship program, offers training and connections for you. And we all know how important networking is. It really, really is important. So they'll connect you with other resources, with mentors, and provide networking opportunities. And their participants have received many awards already and nationwide coverage for their success. So check it out. Go to the website, veteransflorida.org/register, and you can register for the many programs they offer under this entrepreneurship program. They offer, as I said, workshops, online courses, ways to help you grow or expand your company, network opportunities. They help you if you're starting up, provide many other resources. So I wanted to highlight that because it really is a valuable and a free resource. It's out there. Take advantage of it. And it's just part of the state of Florida's pro-business and certainly pro-veteran approach to things. So that's a really big program I thought you might find interesting. Even if you're not in the state of Florida, you want to check it out. And or if you work for a veteran service organization or know someone that works in a counterpart organization in another state, you may want to see what the state of Florida is doing and see how you can apply that in your own state. Copy Florida's success. On another interest of note, particularly to Florida veterans, is that the American Legion Department of Florida is having its 102nd annual statewide convention July 1st through 4th of this year, 2021, at the World Center Marriott in Orlando, Florida. So we mark your calendar for that too, July 1st through 4th at the World Center Marriott in Orlando. That's the American Legion Department of Florida. And they have some various deadlines for getting the special American Legion rate for your hotel reservations. The cutoff date for that is June the 1st. You can find out more information about that at floridalegion.org. So check that out. So if you're in the state of Florida and you're thinking of going to the American Legion Convention in Florida, that's the state convention, check it out. They expect approximately 3,000 American Legion members, spouses, and others in attendance. So it's also a great opportunity if you have a business of interest to veterans. It's a great opportunity, great venue to showcase your products and services, to network, etc. They do have limited vendor space, so don't delay. Contact them by hopefully June the 1st. So that's big news for American Legion in the state of Florida. All right, let's move on to some other news of interest to veterans. In a press release on Friday, May the 14th, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced that veterans who were previously denied service connection for a herbicide-related presumptive condition due to lack of in-country Vietnam service will have their claims automatically adjudicated by the VA. What does that mean? For those that served, in the Vietnam area, perhaps they were offshore in the so-called Blue Water Navy, or they were in Thailand or some other areas. The point of this is, it's good news that the VA is stepping up and doing something they should have done a while back, which is previously denied service connection cases will now be automatically re-adjudicated. They actually started re-adjudicating last month in April for veterans who served in the offshore waters of the Republic of Vietnam during the Vietnam War, but who had been denied for one or more herbicide-related conditions on the basis that the military service had not been performed on the ground in Vietnam or in its inland waterways. According to Acting VA Undersecretary for Benefits Thomas Murphy, and I quote, re-adjudication means VA will review the evidence of record and provide replacement decisions in the cases of veterans who were previously denied service connection benefits. He continued by saying, and I quote, we have the proper resources in place to meet the needs of our veteran community and will ensure all eligible veterans and their survivors' claims are examined thoroughly and fairly. And I would add to that, hopefully promptly. That is a challenge that we often see at the regional office level, a timeliness problem. Now, this review also applies to eligible survivors of deceased Vietnam-era veterans and is part of the Veterans Benefit Administration's implementation of the November 5th, 2020 U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California order in case of Niemer versus the VA, requiring the VA to re-adjudicate those previously denied claims. The VA will determine if benefits for qualifying disabilities can now be paid retroactively to the date of previously denied claims. The court's decision requires automatic re-adjudication in such cases without requiring a new claim and potentially paying benefits to the survivors or estates of deceased beneficiaries. So that's really big news. Even though the VA says they will automatically be doing these things, if you think that you fall into this category, or you know someone that is, I would encourage them to be proactive, contact their representative if they have one, or get a representative, and really try to stay on top of what the VA is doing, because we all know in a big organization like the VA, things fall through the cracks, and you don't want your case to be one of those. So more information is available regarding this and other issues on the VA's website, which is va.gov. So check that out if you think it applies to you. all right, let's shift news, our focus of this news to an issue that we've covered in the past, really over the past couple years, which is this VA Caregiver Support Program. This affects veterans and their families. The program is supposed to provide training, support, and important financial payments to family caregivers of severely disabled veterans. However, for the past several years, the VA has been criticized by many people, veterans, their families, members of Congress, veteran service organizations, etc. They've been criticized, the VA has been criticized for how it has implemented this program, including at times just removing lots of people, thousands of people from the program, saying that they've so-called finished, or just denying people that otherwise would have seemed to qualify. Well, this problem with the VA and how they're implementing this caregiver support program has not escaped the attention of Congress. Last Tuesday, May the 18th, 2021, Senate Committee on Veteran Affairs posted a press release stating that Chairman John Tester from Montana and U.S. Senator Patty Murray from the state of Washington are expressing their concerns over the VA's tightened eligibility and delayed rollout of its caregiver program. According to this press release, quote, Congress expanded the caregivers program to veterans of all eras under the VA Mission Act of 2018. Since the law's implementation, VA has reported more than 70,000 applications for the caregiver program, 27,000 of which were denied. Data showed that the highest percentage of denials were due to the activity of daily living, the ADL requirement, and the 70% service connection requirement. In a letter to VA Secretary Dennis McDonough, the senators pushed the VA to reconsider both the ADL, that's the activity of daily living requirement, and the 70% rule that is currently inhibiting caregivers' ability to receive the benefits that they really deserve. The senators wrote to the VA, and I quote, "As early as 2018, we cautioned VA against considering any modifications to eligibility that would lead to any decrease in benefits provided or number of the beneficiaries served. Again, in 2019 and 2020, we expressed our concern with VA inappropriately curtailing access to the program. Instead, VA chose to ignore input from veterans, advocates, and members of Congress and tighten eligibility in a manner not intended by Congress. We are concerned the criteria is too stringent and is leaving many worthy applicants out of this life-changing program," unquote. The senators also laid out some questions for the VA regarding these denials and appeals for the caregivers program and the resources needed by the VA to appropriately implement phase two of the program's expansion to provide critical benefits and services to deserving veterans and their caregivers. The senators also included in their letter, and I quote, "Despite this original mandate to implement phase one expansion by October 2019 and phase two expansion by October 2021, implementation has been delayed so that many veterans and their caregivers must wait until October 2022 before being eligible to apply. We urge this administration to expedite this timeline and allow veterans of all eras to apply as soon as possible," unquote. So this is a really big deal. This program is designed to help severely disabled veterans, allow them to continue living in their homes and to have, the caregivers being their family members who will then often, or well, not often, all, will typically then have to sacrifice their own source of employment. And, it's a well thought out program, and Congress has chosen through legislation to expand it, as I've mentioned. And the VA seems to, for whatever its internal bureaucratic motivations, has chosen to be very aggressive in denying applications and even removing people that previously had been on the program. So it's an issue that we're going to continue covering on this program. We've covered it on many shows over the last few years. We'll continue to do that if any of our listeners have any particular insights that you wish to share, please contact us. Welcome to hear your views on that. All right, let's move on to some other news. It's amazing, the month of May is almost over, but as we've mentioned in other weeks this month, May is National Moving Month. Many veterans find themselves moving to a new address. The summertime, you know, coming up is also a big moving time for people in the military and for veterans. Well, they should be aware that the VA has expanded its home loan program, which now includes additional benefits for eligible borrowers. The VA is currently implementing a public law that contained three key loan provisions for Vietnam War era veterans, eligible National Guard members, and service members, veterans and certain spouses with VA guaranteed loans. This law has a very long title. Johnny Isaacson and David P. Rowe, who are two members of former members of Congress, the Veterans Health Care and Benefits Improvement Act of 2020, they offer new and renewed home ownership possibilities, according to Acting VA Undersecretary for Benefits Thomas Murphy, who also said, and I quote, "These few changes can have significant impact on our current homeowners, especially for those who were previously ineligible but now have the opportunity to use the benefits they have earned," unquote. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, an estimated 35 million people will relocate this year, with most taking place between the start of the peak season for moving in May and then through September. It's possible that these numbers could increase with the expansions to this program that I've mentioned. And there are basically three elements to this expansion that may be interest to veterans. First, there's expanded criteria for eligibility among Vietnam-era veterans to those whose wartime service began on or about November 1st, 1955. The previous start date had been February 1961. There's also enhanced access to service members and some veterans of the National Guard. The new law extends eligibility of the National Guard who have been mobilized to perform full-time guard duty for at least 90 cumulative days, with 30 days being consecutive. And then the third expansion is for service members, veterans, and certain survivors with VA guaranteed home loans or VA direct loans whose residences have been substantially damaged or destroyed in an area that's been declared a major disaster by the president. And they're now eligible to be charged a first-time use funding fee on a VA guaranteed loan rather than a subsequent use funding fee. The borrower's next guarantee, VA guaranteed loan must be for the repair of the damaged or destroyed residence or purchase or construction of a new home closed within 3 years of the presidential declaration of disaster. So that may affect some veterans. It's just to be aware. It's like many things that come out of the VA and Congress, the rules are rather technical and you have to wonder, you know, how did they come up with these particular criteria? But they're there. More information, go to va.gov. You can find more specifics about this as well as how to apply for your benefits. Okay, let's move on to some other news. I've highlighted this organization on prior shows. It's an excellent organization for veterans. It advocates for veterans. It's called Military Veterans Advocacy, or MVA. John Wells, who's a retired Navy commander and a lawyer, has been our guest many times over the past several years on this show. And I want to take a few moments this evening to discuss MVA's mission and some of its current projects. Its mission is basically to provide training and education services for military service members and veterans, as well as their advocates, concerning their rights and benefits. MVA has an outstanding success record for litigating in federal courts when necessary to protect or enhance benefits for military veterans and current military members. And they also, in addition to litigating and educating, they are engaged in lobbying or legislative advocacy, basically to inform members of Congress on the rights and benefits and how to expand those benefits of current and former members of the armed forces. And they also act to protect the constitutional rights within the military services. Military Veterans Advocacy has many projects, one of which I want to highlight right now. It's called the Bill of the Week Project. And this is really a super program. Why is it important? It's because, you know, we live in a complex world, information overload in this information age we live in. So they make it very easy. I like things that take the complicated to make them easy. And that's what Military Veterans Advocacy does with its Bill of the Week project. If you go to their website, which is militaryveteransadvocacy.org, and then click on the top of the page, click on projects, and you'll see a drop-down menu, and you'll see the Bill of the Week project. Basically, what Military Veterans Advocacy does is they save us time by tracking legislation before Congress that affects veterans. And they'll pick one or sometimes several bills each week and highlight those. They'll summarize what the bill is about. And then to make it easy for you to ask your representative in the House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators to get involved, let's say by co-sponsoring the bill, just to be aware of the bill, to vote for the bill, this project provides links where you can pick a particular bill, you can click on the link they provide, and then you have to obviously type in your name, your address, zip code, and, you know, with a click of the button, it will then link up your message of support of this legislation to your specific representative in the House of Representatives and your two U.S. senators. So you can send all three of them a message in support of this legislation in just a matter of a few minutes. And I know it's worked because I've used this, I've done this myself for many of these bills, and I've received acknowledgments from my representative and senators. So it's a way that you can, number one, stay informed about pending legislation, you know, and it's very complicated, and Military Veterans Advocacy is making it easy for you. It's making the complex pretty easy, and it's making it easy for you to have a voice. And it really matters to members of Congress when they're hearing from their constituents. So let's highlight just some of the bills. The bill highlighting this week, I got an email from them just this afternoon. It's H.R. 3368. It will provide for a presumption of service connection for certain veterans who are exposed to herbicides while serving in the armed forces on Guam, American Samoa, and Johnston Island. Military Veterans Advocacy has long supported veterans' benefits for these veterans who are exposed to these toxic herbicides. MVA has worked with the Environmental Protection Agency also to confirm the presence of these dioxins, these herbicides, on Guam. 39 years after the last known spraying, those dioxins are still present. I attended a workshop run by the Military Veterans Advocacy in early February of last year, just before the COVID shutdown hit about a month later. This workshop was an outstanding workshop in Tampa, and it was one of what was going to be a series of these workshops around the country. I think many of the subsequent ones were then shut down because of the travel and other restrictions because of COVID. Hopefully they'll resume those at some point. But their website has a lot of good information, and this bill, this issue, was one that was covered at that at that workshop. So again, you can go to their website, which is militaryveteransadvocacy.org. Click on Word Projects, and on the drop-down menu, you'll see a link to the Bill of the Week projects. And then you'll see they've organized it week by week, and with a summary of the legislation and how you can communicate with your representative and your two U.S. senators. Last week, one of the bills that they've mentioned was one that may not have occurred to many people, but believe me, it has affected some veterans and when they're traveling. And that's H.R. 855. It's called the Vet Safe Travel Act. It will provide pre-check to certain severely injured or disabled veterans. As the Military Veterans Advocacy described, our disabled American heroes have suffered enough in the service of their country. They should not have to go through a protracted and often dehumanizing procedure simply to board an airplane. The medical support apparatus and sometimes the metal inside their body complicates the process. While security is obviously important, no one disputes that, it should not be made more arduous for those disabled veterans by forcing them to wait in very long lines and undergo more scrutiny because of either the medical support apparatus or the fact that they might have, you know, shrapnel still in their body from their wartime wounds. So this legislation is simply to recognize that and try to make life a little easier for those disabled veterans. That's H.R. 855. Again, you can access this on militaryveteransadvocacy.org under their Bill of the Week project. But there are quite a few. There's many, many other bills pending before Congress. And, of course, you can get even more information on the House and Senate Veteran Affairs Committee websites, which are easy to remember, veterans.house.gov and veterans.senate.gov. And those committees, that's where the heavy lifting is done, so to speak. That's where they hold hearings. That's where they're, you know, most of the expertise in Congress as far as legislative matters affecting veterans. And you can track legislation there that's been introduced. You can track when there's hearings. You can watch the hearings virtually through their website. You can read the legislative agendas of literally dozens of veteran organizations every spring. Those are submitted to those committees. So there's a lot going on, and those are basically three websites you can use to kind of keep track of those, militaryveteransadvocacy.org, and then the two House and Senate Veteran Affairs Committees. If you have any comments or questions, once again, we just got a few minutes left on our show this evening, but if you want to call in, it's not too late. 1-888-627-6008. You're listening to the Veterans News Hour here on VBS Radio, Station 1. Let's turn to some other news before we close for tonight. We had mentioned this in some prior prior week shows, the issue of expanding coverage for those veterans that have been affected by the toxic exposure because of open air burn pits. We've mentioned this on many shows. And one organization that is really helping to take the lead on that is the National Veterans Legal Services Program. You check out their website, which is nvlsp.org, National Veterans Legal Services Program. They've been very active on the Agent Orange issue for Vietnam veterans and that generation, and now they're also involved on this generation's similar issue, which is the exposure to the toxin from these burn pits. And on last week's show, we talked a lot about the NVLSP's legislative presentation to Congress recently. You may want to go back and listen to our show from last week for a lot of details, but you can also, again, go to their website, nvlsp.org. It's an excellent organization, and when you're on their website, you'll see that they offer many other services for veterans and free representation. They have a network of representatives, including lawyers, that handle a wide range of services for veterans, whether it's discharge upgrades to representation in individual cases, but also they have tremendous expertise in these class action lawsuits. And they've used their expertise and working with other law firms and have a very successful track record. So I really applaud their efforts, and if you're interested in learning more, or if you have the ability to donate either your time or your financial resources to help that organization, go to nvlsp.org. And just as I would encourage you to, support militaryveteransadvocacy.org, another nonprofit organization that could really benefit from your help. They're truly doing great work. Now, by my highlighting those, I don't mean to diminish or exclude other organizations. It's just that these are two organizations that I've dealt with a lot over the years and have observed their work, and they're really top-notch, and they have made such a positive difference for so many veterans. And it's tough. They're up against, the VA, as we know, can be sometimes do really good things, but sometimes they can be just a real tough bureaucracy to deal with. So check them out, and if you can help them, I would encourage you to do that. All right, I want to talk about another program that we've discussed frequently on our show, and we often conclude with that, which is the VA's Coaching into Care program. It's a program that the VA has had for many years now, and it's specifically designed to help veterans that are having a tough time making the transition from military life, especially if they served in combat, to civilian life. And Coaching into Care is a recognition that returning home can be a very tough adjustment, and family members can help in that effort. So the Coaching into Care program that is provided by the VA, it's a free service. It offers coaching to help family members help their veteran. The program, as I say, is free. It has a toll-free number if you want to grab your pen and paper. The Coaching Into Care program by the VA is 1-888-823-7458. That's 1-888-823-7458. Now, its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That program's purpose is to help family members help their veteran kind of make that transition, because some veterans may be reluctant for whatever any number of reasons of getting the help that they need. So, as the name suggests, Coaching Into Care is to kind of provide some skills to help that veteran get into the care that might be needed. On a similar note, I want to emphasize another very important program, which is the Crisis Line, Veterans Crisis Line. The nationwide toll-free number is 1-800-273-8255, which you'll recognize is the nationwide crisis line, suicide prevention line. But when you call that number and you press 1, that will then direct connect to the Veterans Crisis Line for those that have particular training to deal with more veteran-unique issues. Many veterans have been in a crisis. Many have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they need. So help them get the care that they need to cope with their problems. Again, that number, the crisis line, is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. That's 24/7 number, unlike the Coaching Into Care, which has more restricted time frames. So that's an important program. I encourage you to, pass that information on. And before closing tonight, I want to invite our listeners, if you are interested in being a guest on our show, if you are, if you know someone particularly in a veteran organization that you would like to highlight the work they're doing, get them some publicity, help them in raising funds for their organization, we're always welcome to have them as a guest on our show here on the Veterans News Hour. We're here every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. If you contact us, our contact information is on our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. You can contact either Richard Hurley, who's my co-host, or myself, David Corey. You can reach us by either email or our phone numbers on that website. And reach out to us, and we'd be happy to have you on our show. And, we look forward to hearing from you. Also, on a similar vein, if you're interested in supporting our program, either as an advertiser or a sponsor, again, please reach out to us through our show's website. We'd be happy to hear from you and be appreciative of your support. And, we try to keep our listeners updated on a wide range of veteran issues. It's been our pleasure to be on BBS Radio for over 4 years now, and you'll see through our archive shows we've had quite a variety of guests. Again, we extend an invitation to those that might want to be on our show. Having said that, I think we're about out of time for this evening, so I'd like to thank you all for listening, and hope you'll have a great week ahead. Tune in next week, same time, same station, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. We'll have another edition of the Veterans News Hour for you. Until then, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.